Are you afraid of Positively Literary?
We hope not.
Because we're your hosts,
Stephanie Costigan
and Bianca Rowena. And you're listening to
Episode 2,
our Halloween edition.
So buckle up and get ready.
Yeah, so we are foxes?
I'd say we're foxes.
You know when you say you're a fox, that has another meaning? Because you said, I say we're foxes.
I say we're foxes.
Okay, Halloween. Okay, let's start with saying, what's your favorite thing about Halloween? Like a favorite memory or...
Okay, this is not the nicest memory. I mean, it's a happy... not a good memory for somebody else, but it's a good memory for me.
Okay.
Okay, back when in my younger days, you know... prankster days, I should say.
Oh, you were the prankster.
I did a trick, a mean trick. I know, it's awful. It wasn't my idea, though, I can say that.
So you're going to confess this on...
Live.
Okay.
So maybe if the girl's out there that this happened to, she can... Hi, I'm sorry. I had a friend, and it was his idea that we trick people or, like, scare people for Halloween, right? So he set up at his house a prop of scarecrows, and we dressed up as scarecrows. We even stuffed ourselves with hay.
Mm.
So we were very convincing. He did most of the scare though. So anybody that came to the door, we would pose as scarecrows, and then I would do a blood curdling scream, and when they weren't realizing it, he was following them behind. So they turned around from the blood-curdling scream, and they would see this scarecrow right in their face.
Well, it's all perspective, because you could look at it as a service that you were doing.
A service.
Because well, you pay for haunted houses, that's scary.
There was this little girl.
Oh, no.
She came to the door, and I wasn't going to do it, and he was like, what are you doing? He was like, and then I was like, okay, and I screamed. And he was following behind her, and she lost it. I was so scared because she was hyperventilating. She, like, screamed, hyperventilated, screamed again, hyperventilated, and then screamed again, and then turned and pushed him down the stairs because he was following behind her, and he was at the top of the stairs. He kind of deserved it. But she pushed him down the stairs, and I felt absolutely horrible. And then his wife came out, and... she was like, okay, we're done. We're done with the scaring. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. And he was like, aw, come on, can't we keep going? We're like, don't be insensitive. But yeah,
guys, you know, because I'm a mother to a girl. Well, I was going to say a little girl, but she's not so little anymore. But I would be upset. And, you know,
the parent was there, actually. She was laughing. Okay, the parent was laughing, but I felt really bad. I feel like we traumatized this poor little girl.
But up until the poor little girl, you guys were having fun.
Yes.
And it's a fun memory. Now, like, you couldn't have been that young if you're, like, went to the trouble of, like, stuffing your...
Well, he was older, I was younger.
Okay, and you guys were both...
I was a teenager. Like, I was probably around 17, 18, and he was, like, 30.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now the story really is getting scary.
Anyways, yeah.
They were just friends, but yeah, his wife was there.
No, his wife was there. No, it was a family friend, so it was
like
a theater friend.
And you
friend.
Guys were having fun on Halloween. So it's funny because something like that happened to me and my mom and my sister when we went trick-or-treating. And I think it was a scary clown that was sitting in a corner.
Clowns.
And sometimes you go to a house... and they have a bowl that says, like, take one because they're not home or something. So there was a clown, and it looked like a mannequin or whatever, maybe the way he was kind of sitting and holding a bowl. And we're like, okay, take one. And we went up, and we were taking, like, oh, should we take two? Like, we were just kind of talking, and we had no idea it was a real person. And same kind of thing. He moved and, I don't know, spooked us or said something. And we screamed so loud. And I think if I was little, I would have been... traumatized, like you said, but since
I probably like from the age 10 to 11, 12.
Okay, I guess that's not super little. I was imagining like a 4-year-old, but that's still scary.
We weren't mean to the little ones. Okay, like just to clarify, I would never do that.
Yeah, that But I don't like jump scares anyway. But that one wasn't too bad because he was in front of us. It's not like behind us. But the memory that, well, not memory, what I was hoping to find in the garage was a picture of me when I dressed up as Dana Scully from the X-Files. And I cut my hair and dyed my hair red.
Wow.
Like, and made it exactly how her hair was. And I think I really did look like Dana Scully. And so, and I had the dress suit from Value Village and I printed out and got the perfect
name tag.
So this was before social media. So the only photo I have, honestly, is the photo in the garage that was taken with like an actual camera, because I don't think we didn't have smartphones at that time. Yeah. So no smartphones, so I was really sad that I couldn't find the photo because I wanted to show it. Because it looked like, I really looked like Dana Scully. And I met a Mulder, like I didn't really know him, but he dressed up as Mulder. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That was the funnest time I had. Because everyone who saw me was like, it's Scully. And then there'd be like aliens, people dressed up like aliens. And if they saw me, they'd be like, oh, and run away. And this was back in the day where you could have
toy boom boom.
And it didn't have the orange end to it, so
it was realistic.
It looked real, and I don't think it was a problem at that time. I would not recommend doing that nowadays, because I was told that the police have to treat anything that looks like one without an orange end. They treat it as though it really is one.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. So then you can like get thrown to the ground. And I feel like our happy Halloween memories
are like a little traumatic.
They're both turning negative.
No. Sorry.
But I do like Halloween, and our topic today isn't specifically Halloween, but it's Halloween edition. But we are going to talk about scary books. Like, there's so many different zombie books, thrillers, mysteries even, because they can be...
Stephen King,
yes. And even we'll talk about dark romance a little bit, because in a dark romance, there's stalking or some kind of... and all of that, so I'm excited. And I don't even know if you could see my dollar store poster. I had to tape it together in pieces because it came in pieces. But it's a hand coming out of the grave.
It's like, no.
It's her.
It's daunting.
Attempts to be Halloween-y, which is, I guess, no, that's not zombie. We did start talking about zombie and how your husband made you watch a zombie movie and you hated
it. All the time, all the time.
But back to zombies,
yes,
and things that don't look so good. Okay, so books. So yes, you did say that watching the zombie movies is not your favorite, and I don't watch them, but I kind of would feel the same about zombie books, I think. Not that I have a lot of experience with them. Are there a lot of zombie books?
They're sci-fi.
Oh, it yeah. would be, or even dystopian. Like, they're not necessarily called zombie books, but that's...
Yeah, they would be in the sci-fi section. But yeah, they're zombie books. I think there's even, like, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a book written in diary format of a person surviving during a zombie apocalypse.
Oh. Hey, that zombie movie that you watched that you did like, and it's a romance...
Warm Bodies.
Was that originally a book? I feel like I should have looked this up.
I don't know. I feel like we need like a moment to like do some research.
Yes.
Do research time. It was a book. So it was
based on Isaac Marion's 2010 novel.
Oh, I guess that was the director's name.
Yeah. Yeah. Isaac Marion was the...
The author.
The author of his 2010 novel. I feel like 2010 was just like yesterday, so... And what an interesting concept. Okay, so when it comes to scary books and they're talking about, I don't know, creepy things, I don't know, I wouldn't normally read that, but I feel like Warm Bodies would be an interesting read.
There was a really... recently a book trending on TikTok that was really intense. It's like a horror romance.
Oh.
Do you remember we were talking about it
before? Oh, so you're talking about dark romance and
yeah.
It's Haunting Adeline?
Yes, that was it. It has like a skull, right, on the cover?
Yeah, a lot of those dark romances do. Okay, if we're jumping straight into dark
romance.
No, we can. We can kind of start there because that is what is trending a lot on TikTok and BookTok. And Okay, I did mention this, I think, in episode one, but I did finally think, well, you know, maybe I'll read one. Okay, this is a funny thing. I told my daughter, she thought it was hilarious. So I have a sci-fi fantasy series, and it has romance, so it's kind of romantic-y. And so it's a, what do you call it? Not hero, it's, she hates it. Enemies to lovers.
Oh.
Romance.
Yeah.
So he's the bad guy. He's like a dark lord kind of guy. And yeah, there is a romance in it. So I thought, I hadn't heard the term dark romance before. So I was like, oh, I wrote a dark romance because the guy was her enemy. And then they, then they're together. But it definitely wasn't a dark romance.
It's not a dark
romance. I was going around saying that I have a novel, like
That's a dark romance.
But then I found out what it really is. So kind of to give you an idea, it could be, so it's dark because of the themes. Like it could be stalking. We talked about stalking.
Stalking, grape.
Yep. And so non-consent stuff. And
grapes. They're non-consensual.
Yeah, that is what they say. And what else? There's probably a lot, so I haven't read a lot. I'll tell you about the one that I started reading, because it was my first experience with dark romance. There was a filter on TikTok, BookTok, where above your head it shows you, it flashes and it stops on one. So what it was different dark romances, and then it stops on one, and it, I don't know if it was like which dark romance...
You did that.
I did that. It's like more suited to you. Whatever.
Which one did you get?
So I landed on one, and I told myself, like on the thing, I said, whichever one I land on, I'll read.
Interesting.
So I landed on one, and I probably should have looked up the title. Well, no, because I'm going to kind of put it down, so I probably shouldn't say the title or the author. And so I got it. I got it, thankfully, as an ebook instead of like a physical book. And so Mike's experience with that book was it read like fan fiction. Now I love fan fiction, and I have written fan fiction. It read like fan fiction of maybe someone who's like 13 years old, and I won't put that down, but that's how it read, because she's in school, and then she's
I'm sorry, that's too twisted.
No, I'm not saying she was 13.
Okay, I was like,
it just, I think the character was supposed to be a teenager, older, like maybe 17, okay. But it definitely, the point of view, the voice was so young. It was like middle school young, like the way it was written. And I overlooked that. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I like young style. But then when it got into more
of the graphic, steamy.
Yeah. Well, and I wouldn't even, steamy, okay, fine. But the thing that made me...
Don't be afraid.
We'll be right back.
Boo!
We're back with all of your spooky listening needs. Okay, I'm just gonna, I guess, finish what I was saying, and it leads into the next topic. I was telling you the dark romance I was reading and how I felt it was very, like, the voice, the POV was very young. So, and I can suspend some things, not suspend, but maybe look over for the sake of intriguing romance, things like stalking or even bullying. This one had more of a bullying aspect, and I'm like, okay, you know, but secretly we think he's hot. But what I couldn't handle,
but he was mean.
And even mean, I could be like, okay, he's mean because one of my characters is this bad, you know, evil lord, and then, you know, he's got a good side. But what I couldn't deal with, I guess, is there was pain. So as soon as pain got involved, I was like, I'm out. And that was pretty quick. It was like chapter 3. I was going along with it. She's getting bullied, whatever. And then like something with pain. And then I was like, okay, I'm out. So then I guess the next topic would be not just dark romance, but I don't know, horror or things. I don't know, decapitate, like all the gross things with horror. Neither of us really understand the appeal and why people would want to read about it, especially read about it. I can understand the thrill of a jump scare in the theater or in the movie. And so I don't fully understand it. And you were saying something interesting during our break about just maybe this is an old style kind of thinking because we no longer care about censorship, but maybe kind of it being almost dangerous to be writing about.
Like for example, me and my husband I can't remember why we got into the discussion, but we got into the discussion about how like time hasn't really changed. Like if you go back in time, their entertainment was like people getting eaten alive by like lions and stuff like that, or like put to death, you know.
Colosseum, is that what it's called? And then they're watching this, and that's entertainment.
Or gladiators, just like really graphic things, and how like you would think over time we have like evolved to like we're not that barbaric, or we don't like to enjoy, but like some of these like dark romances or stuff like that,
or just horror,
it's just real. It can be really graphic, and it's like, wow, I don't think we've actually evolved that much from that, because we're still going out of our way to read kind of disturbing things like that. Even movies, you know, watch disturbing things like that, for, you know, and it's just, I don't know.
I never understood it. And like you said, disturbing. So I know, I kind of get why some people like the thrill of the movies, but I did reach out to a local author who writes horror. So he writes horror. So I haven't really read any of his books because he writes horror. But his name is Con Lavery, and I'll put that on the screen, conlavery.com, his website. His books are like about gangs, drug lords, demons, the underworld, strange things, like unsettling and dark stories, that kind of thing. So I wanted to know, I asked him to answer this question for us, because we don't really get it. Why do you think people enjoy reading horror novels, and what do you enjoy about writing them? So here's Con, let's see what he has to say.
Hi, my name is Con Lavery. I'm a Canadian horror and dark fantasy author, and I think people enjoy reading horror novels because I think it's multifaceted. I think it's because there's, for one, like an excitement that comes with it being scared, and it's not for everyone, but for a particular type of people, there is that excitement blends into like having thrills. It's probably why thrillers are popular, or amusement parks, haunted houses. There's a rush that comes with those kind of jump scares. Kind of builds up adrenaline, gets the heart running, and that's one type of being scared. There's other types of horror as well, beyond just shock and quick value, but a deeper simmering one that you see more in like cosmic horror or slow burn type novels, and those really leave you feeling unsettled and gives you something to think about. And I think that helps people remember just some of the good things in life, and also grounds people to remember that there are terrible things out there, and experiencing it through fiction allows and helps people understand their own emotions and just what else is out there in the world. So whether it's made up, you know, cosmic entities or some horrific family drama with murder, that is why I think people enjoy horror. Some of those, exploring their own emotions is pretty much what I think it comes down to. And for writing, it's quite similar for me. This is why I enjoy writing horrors. You get to explore the deep roots of the human condition through these emotions. And I kind of throw horror into, like, you got fear, you got anger, you got all those different human expressions that are really interesting as a writer. So the good positive ones are as well, like happiness and laughter and love. So those are all good things to enjoy. As horror as a genre, I quite enjoy it because of the freedom you have with writing. Some other genres tend to have kind of set things ready to go. Tropes is what authors generally call them. And with horror, there are tropes too. You got your zombies, you got your paranormal haunted house for the family that just moved in. So you got those typical tropes, but horror also tends to be quite broad, and what we consider to be horror also changes based off of trends and what year it is. So it is quite broad, and you hear the name thrown around a lot where it changes. So like we commonly consider the Frankenstein novel to be horror, but it's technically more of a sci-fi. Depends who you talk to. So yeah, that's why I quite enjoy writing it. And I get to just explore some really, really fun, outlandish things. And thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Okay, so thank you, Khan. Like, that's an interesting take, right?
Very, yeah. And, you know, like, we would like to hear from you guys. Like, mm-hmm. Why do you enjoy horror? Like, what is it that keeps you turning the pages or going back?
Yeah, or why do you choose not to read it, right? So kind of throwback. When I was a teenager, I read Pet Sematary. I feel like that's very Halloween vibes. And I'm trying to remember. I remember it scared me. It scared me. And probably at that age, like, I had a cat. And just this idea of, first of all, of my cat dying. And I don't even know how I got through this book. But I did read it, and it was very engaging, obviously, because it really did. So that was, you know, that's a kind of, would this be horror? No, not horror.
It's horror, yeah.
Oh, okay. I would say it's so horror. Maybe I have read a horror book. Because I'm so much more sensitive to things like horror and people, I don't know, being dismembered, or especially like the spiritual stuff. I don't want to get into any, what do you call it? I don't know. I don't want to get into that space of dark spiritual stuff. So I don't read that stuff. Even about ghosts, unless it's like a ghost romance and, you know, we're keeping it really light. But you had interviewed an author once as a journalist, but also we're going to mention an author.
So I interviewed Kimberly Calkin. Mm-hmm. She wrote The Ghost of Lil. And it's a really, actually, I'm almost done. I'm almost through the book. I had to put it down because I just got really busy. But so far, it's a really, you could say, tasteful horror. Like, the thing I can, like, kind of relate it to, and I haven't read the book, but I've watched, like, the series, is The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I actually watched that too. So, yeah. Okay, maybe I've
seen some. So it's, like, it's kind of like that, but not as, I don't want to say as intense. It's because we watch the show. It's different type of
medium.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, it's tasteful. Like, it's not as like graphic with dismemberment details. Yeah. You know.
Plus, it's based on these ghost stories in real life, like real ghost stories.
Yeah, it's based on a real ghost story. So we're kind of, we don't live close to, but like, Crow's Nest Pass is known for like being kind of like ghosty, or like there's like a Frank slide, you know, Frank slide.
Yeah.
I don't know,
because they all died.
Yes, Frank slide. So there's like, to make it really short, there's this little like town that was like on a hill, like back in the pioneer days. And
it was at the bottom of this big mountain.
Yeah. And the mountain collapsed, and the slide happened, killed everybody instantly. And they haven't removed the stone, so it's like a resting place, you could say.
Yeah, it's like a graveyard. It's this huge stone grave. Well, rocks. So there's these big rocks, like as big as,
they're,
you know,
huge. Some of the bleachers are huge. Yeah. So, yeah. So she wrote it kind of on that a little bit. So,
oh, was she writing about the people that died there? So is it like real ghost stories revisited, kind of?
Well, not exactly revisiting ghost stories, but it's like, it has Frank Slide in it. Like, it talks about Frank Slide, okay. So it kind of like gives Easter eggs to it, right? Oh. But it's about a house that is haunted.
Okay.
And apparently she herself, she lives in an old house. She moved into like Crow's Nest Pass, and she actually has experienced some hauntings a little bit in her house she moved into, because it's a very old house, like really.
I have heard about, especially with real estate agents and stuff, they have to disclose if someone died in the home, and just because it matters, it can change the space. So we also asked her, wanted to talk to, or get her take on, her question is, here, should I?
Yeah.
Is it emotionally difficult to write ghost stories about murder or death? And how do you detach your emotions? So we're gonna see what her response is to that.
Hi there, my name is Kimberly Koken, and I am the author of the paranormal novel, The Ghosts of Lill, which is a ghost story which was inspired by the tragic history of the Crow's Nest Pass in the Rocky Mountains of Alberta, Canada. I actually purchased a house in the pass 11 years ago, and I live here full time now. And I live right next to a place called Frank's Slide, which was one of the deadliest landslides in Canada's history. Once we moved in and got to know some people in the community, we found out that our home was actually one of many which had come from a ghost town called Lill. And so we actually hiked to Lill to see the foundation of our old home. So we got to see some of the things left behind from the coal production times, and we got to see the beautiful views of living up in the middle of the mountains. Writing a ghost story can be difficult, because if your story is well written, then you have hopefully written characters that not only your reader will become attached to, but that you yourself as an author are probably attached to, especially by the time that you get to the point where something tragic is happening to one of your characters. So that was a difficult thing for me. I was drawn to writing a ghost story because of the emotional impact of it. Because in my opinion, a ghost story is actually more sad than it is scary. Because usually it is the result of something tragic that has happened to somebody in their lifetime, and they find themselves trapped in a loop that repeats over and over again because of that tragedy. So it can be difficult to write a story which involves death and hauntings and things like that, but there also is that side where, as an author, you get a really great sense of satisfaction if your audience actually feels the same way that you do and the way that you wanted them to. If your audience is sad when your character goes through something tragic, then you know you have hit your mark and you've achieved the goal that you've set out to achieve. So writing a ghost story was really rewarding. It was a difficult task. It was like putting together a puzzle, and it was definitely very worthwhile. So happy Halloween. If you're up for a good read and you're interested in a good ghost story with some historical fiction involved, check out my novel, The Ghosts of Lill.
Okay, we're back. Thank you, Kimberly. That was very informative. And I guess good for those to know that are writers that haven't like explored this genre.
Oh yeah, I know I wouldn't be able to. I don't know if I'd want to delve into, I don't know, or just, I was thinking, it wasn't Frank's Slide, but it was Fort Steele, which is a heritage town. Fort Steele has these ghost stories, but it is interesting, and I can see why people would be interested in like ghost stories more so than just kind of, I guess, what Khan writes with, I don't know, unsettling dark things. We didn't really touch on everything. I had written down the show You, which is now, so it's a book. It's a book, but it's also on Netflix.
And it's a series on Netflix, yeah.
It's got that creepy, he's a stalker, but there was something about it that kept me interested, and then I really didn't like some of the aspects of it, obviously, because it was kind of dark, but it did catch my attention.
It is. I think it's the way he presents it, where even though he's a twisted man, he, like, makes himself feel relatable.
Yes, and he's kind of like an anti-hero, where he's like, he's still the hero of the story, not hero, but you know, the main character, and you like him and hate him at the same time.
Yes, it's twisted. It's so twisted.
I think that was well written. And that might be kind of fun because you're not quite sure to watch for like the Halloween season. But are they coming out with a season 4?
Ooh. I don't know, but I think they should stop it where it's at because I feel like it's lost its touch. Anyways.
Yeah, I guess we didn't touch on vampires either, but I would like to do an episode just on vampires. Not on vampires, but on, vampire books, vampire movies. But yeah, thank you for joining us, and we really hope you have a happy Halloween.
Exactly, enjoy the spookiness, the trick-or-treating.
It looks like our time has come to an unfortunate and spooky end.
You've been listening to
Positively Literary with your hosts
Stephanie Costigan
and Bianca Rowena. We'll see you next time.